You turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans to chapter 1. When we read verses 18 through 21 here, we are reminded of something that everyone knows, every human being knows, that God has made. If we've lived long enough to be able to think or consider, we're going to know these facts that he is speaking about in these verses, that we have a creator and that we belong to that creator. And therefore, we are responsible for living our lives to do the will of our Creator and owner. Romans 1, 18 to 21 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." So God's anger, he says, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Those who live their lives in this world in an ungodly and unrighteous manner, he describes them as holding the truth in unrighteousness. Well, if we hold this particular truth he's referring to in righteousness, we won't be ungodly and unrighteous in our living. But those who are not serving God, they're not serving God, and they are therefore holding this truth and unrighteousness. And now he's not speaking here about general truth. He's also not speaking specifically about the truth as it's detailed in Scripture concerning what God's will is. That is the extension of it. But the truth that he's specifically referring to in verse 19 is what he refers to as that which may be known of God. He says it is revealed in them. Well, if this truth he were talking about were the details of what God has revealed in Scripture, then if someone has never read the Bible, then would they really be holding that truth at all? Well, they would be in utter ignorance of it. We might then be able to present an excuse to say, "Well, I didn't know this or that because I never read that." Well, can we use that as an excuse? Can we be ignorant of our Creator's will, which we do find in the Scriptures, in this book that is the Bible? That's where we find our Creator's will. Well, if we never read that and we don't know what it says, do we have a valid excuse on Judgment Day? "Well, I know I didn't do that, but I didn't know that because I never read that." Well, no, that's not a valid excuse. He says they're without excuse because this truth that he's referring to is something that is revealed to us in a manner that we all know it and cannot ignore it. He says it has been revealed unto them. And he says God has showed it unto them. Well, what has God shown about himself? What truth about himself has God shown to mankind? And he says in verse 19, it's that which may be known of God. So this is a truth pertaining or about God that God has revealed and shown to all mankind. Well, what is that truth about himself, and how has he made that known to everyone? Well, he refers to those that which may be known of him as the invisible things of him. Well, that's been revealed in what manner? He says from the creation of the world. They're clearly seen. Well, God by the creation has revealed himself to his creation, to mankind. Those invisible things of him, that which may be known of him, which is revealed from the creation of the world and the things that are made, he says in verse 20, is his eternal power and Godhead. Godhead is that word means godness, his divinity. Well, that we have an eternally powerful God who made us. Do you have to read that in the Bible to know that's true? I mean, the Bible starts with that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the first statement in the Bible. But do you have to read Genesis 1:1 to know that there's a maker of all of this? Well, the fact that it's here, tells us, reveals to us that there is an eternally powerful, an almighty God who created all of this, including us. And we don't have to read anything to know that. God has revealed his existence to all mankind by the things that are made, by this creation. He says it's clearly seen. Who doesn't know that we have a maker? Well, the creation itself says that there's a creator of it. And so what excuse does anybody have? There isn't one. We're not going to be able to go to judgment day and say, well, I didn't know you existed. He's going to, what would he say to that? You did know I existed, and you're part of the proof. I made you, and I made everything. You knew you existed. You knew there was a creation, so you knew I was that I'm the creator. So what do we need to do then? How do we hold that truth in righteousness? Everybody's holding that truth. Everybody knows there is a God. Now, lots of people are denying it. More and more are doing so today and saying they don't believe in the Creator. But that's a lie. They do know. Everybody knows. So whether they admit it or not, we all know that we've got a maker, a creator. And we have a responsibility then with that truth and the way that we hold it. And how do we do that? And how do we hold that truth in righteousness? By glorifying him as God, as he says in verse 21. But the people of the world don't do that. Mankind is living in rebellion against God. Glorifying God as God, for us to glorify him in that position that he has as God, as the creator and owner of all things, we belong to him. So whose will do we have to do in this life? We have to do his will. We have to seek him and do his will. Is it okay for us to take the life God has created for me and then do my own will with that life? No, it's not right. And that is unrighteous. So we have a creator that we belong to, and it is only right that we seek that creator to know his will and accomplish that will of his, because we are his. And God's anger is revealed against all those who won't do that, which is the world at large. But we need to be an exception. We need to be among those few who will glorify God as God and seek and serve him and obey him. Verses 28 through 32 give some further detail about those who hold the truth in unrighteousness and what they do and why they do it. And many times we might be puzzled at the actions of people, and we might even say aloud, how could they do that? How could somebody do something like that? Well, God tells us actually why they do things like that. Verse 28, he says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Keep that one in mind for our study this morning. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. All these things that people do, that's quite a list there, isn't it, that he gives in those verses of all the wicked things that people do. And why does he say they do that? He says they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. Well, how did God get in their knowledge? Because he made them, and we all know it. Now, how many people like to retain him in their knowledge, to retain that truth that I belong to God and I need to be serving him and not doing my own will and not doing all of these wicked things? People don't like to think about that. So what do they want to do with their any thoughts of God or their obligation to seek and serve him? They want to put that out of their minds. They don't want to think about that. So they want to push God out of their minds. They don't like to retain them in their knowledge. And so then they go into all of this rebellion and doing all of those things that he mentions there. And he plainly says that they know the judgment of God. In the end, we've got a creator that we belong to. He is going to judge us. And we know that. But people don't want to prepare for the judgment. They don't want to think about that. They want to push that out of their minds and go on with their lives and do all of these things that he mentions there. Now, in chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, here's the end result. And here's what's going to determine whether or not we spend our eternity with God in heaven or whether we spend our eternity being punished. Verses 5 through 11 of Romans 2 says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respecter of persons with God." Is he going to judge us according to what we are like on the outside, our appearance, or any of those other things? No, he's going to judge us according to our deeds, all of us. Is that fair? Yes. Whether we glorified God as God or not, and how is that manifest? Well, as he puts it there, if we're doing what is good and obeying God, then we will have eternal life. But if we're contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, then we're going to have that eternal wrath of God upon us and punishment. So it comes down to whether or not we glorify God as God. It comes down to whether or not we will obey God or whether we're not going to obey God. So obedience is key. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 5 verses 8 and 9, he says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made the author of eternal salvation, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." So we're going to have eternal salvation if we obey him, and we have to follow Christ. Well, Christ was obedient to his Father. He learned that obedience. So do we need to learn how to obey God? We do need to learn that. We first learn it from the creation, that we need to seek God to obey him, and then we have to know what he says and obey that. Well, God has authority over us, and we have to submit to that authority in obedience to him, that we've established. Where do we first learn, and how do we first learn how to obey God and learn to submit to his authority? Well, it starts with the authority that he's given to our parents that we are under. We're born into a family where we have authority over us from our parents. Now, those who do not like the authority of God, how are they going to feel about the authority of their parents? They don't like to retain God in their knowledge, and they're not going to like to retain in their knowledge the fact that they need to obey their parents. So those who are rebellious against God are going to be rebellious against their parents because they don't like authority. They don't like God's authority, and they're not going to submit to the authority of God. So they will not submit to God's authority that he exercises through the parents. This is part of the Ten Commandments, as we know. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, he said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Now, that's the first commandment with promise. Is there a connection between a child's obedience to their parents, a person who has decided they're going to seek God and spend their time on this earth, apply their hearts unto wisdom to learn the will of their Creator and to obey that as they demonstrate that by honoring and obeying their parents? Is there any connection between somebody who has that kind of heart and God's decision about how long he's going to keep them on this earth? There is a connection to that. Now, are there exceptions to that? Are there some that God will take in their younger years that are good, that are servants of his? And there are times when he does that. Are there some wicked that he keeps on the earth, like Pharaoh, so that he can use for those purposes like he did Pharaoh? Well, there's some on that side too. But what is the general rule that God operates by? There is a connection between whether God keeps us here longer or not, based upon whether or not we submit to his authority, first shown by honoring and obeying our parents. And he mentions this in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, as we have the commandment here for children to obey their parents. So as this was part of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament, God includes this as part of the law of Christ in the New Testament. So children were to obey their parents, as we read under the Old Testament. Children have to obey their parents now. Let's read Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Any of you young people here that are still in your parents' house, if you're young enough to be under their authority, please listen to these words right now. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So whose authority is it? The parents' authority. When they tell you when you can leave, when you need to be home, or where you can go, or what you can do, or what you can't do, what your privileges are, when they tell you what to do, they give you your chores, they tell you what they want you to do in the house and when. Do you like that? If you're under that authority, do you like having those rules in the house that you have to obey? Well, if you love God, you're going to recognize that's God's authority, and if you love God, you're going to be humble and obey God by obeying those rules in the house of your parents. That is what God commands young people to do. That is the way a child obeys the Lord, by obeying the parents that he has put over the child as their authority. It's God's authority. Now, some children don't do that. And in Deuteronomy chapter 21, we can learn. Now, these verses here that we're going to read from Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 through 21, this commandment of the Old Testament and how to deal with a rebellious child who would not obey and honor the parents, he doesn't carry this commandment over to the New Testament. But we learn from this how God views a rebellious child. Deuteronomy chapter 21, 18 to 21. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. Now let's just pause there for a moment. Again, if you're a child here, if you're under your parents' authority, hear those words. Ask yourself, is this me? Are you stubborn and rebellious? Do you not obey the voice of your father or your mother? If that's describing you, you have a view here of what the Lord thinks of you. Does that matter? Well, it matters everything what God thinks of us. Now, if we look at ourselves and we love the Lord, we should be saying, no, that's not me. I want to obey my parents because I want to please God who made me. So this is an opportunity for you younger ones to do some self-examination and also to have a view of what your Creator, your God that you belong to, what he thinks of you. So here is someone who has a rebellious son that will not obey the voice of his father, the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, will not hearken unto them. Now, there's an important key. These are parents that have done what God says that a parent should do in bringing up their child in the Lord's nurture and admonition. They've taught him what is right. They have chastened, that is, they have punished this rebellious child when they've been doing wrong. Now, if parents don't even teach their children about God and about what's right and wrong, if they hadn't done that, or if they hadn't punished their children when they were doing wrong, is it okay for them to then bring this stubborn and rebellious child before the elders of the people in this city that they live in? No, they would not have met their obligation to do that. But this is in a situation where the parents have done right. They've taught the child God's will. The child has learned God's will from being brought up, but the child will not obey. The child will not obey God, and they show that by not obeying the parents. And he says in verse 19, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gates of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So God gave that commandment, and it was the ultimate and most severe of punishments under the law of Moses, but it applied to a child like this. And it was for the sake not only of that particular family, but for all the nation and all the other children in the nation to know here is how it is viewed, and here's what is to be done with a child who will not obey their parents. They're not obeying God because they will not obey their parents. So that was the Lord's commandment for under the Old Testament. We read what he teaches under the New Testament. Children, you obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is how children learn to obey God, by obeying their parents. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11 is a verse that does let us know that not all children they're all different. Now, any of us in here that are parents that have had more than one child, that's pretty much all it takes for us to know this from personal experience. They're not the same. They're different. The children are different. Their personalities are different. The way the Lord has made them, we're all different, and we have different manners of spirit. We respond to different teachings or encouragements in different ways. So that's true of children. But what does he say about children in Proverbs 20, verse 11? He says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. Now, children are going to have a reputation. They're going to be known by their doings, according to whether what they're doing is good or right. Now, are children able to do what's good and right? Well, what did he say? Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So children can be an example of doing what is good and right, of being obedient to the Lord by obeying the parents. But on the other hand, of course, if children are stubborn and rebellious and they will not obey the parents, they hate authority, they won't submit to the authority of the parents, and thereby they refuse to submit to the authority of God. A child will be known for that if that's what they're doing. So we need to be aware of what we are, who we are, and what we're doing. And children will be known accordingly. Psalm 58 and verse 3. Some children, they have this rebellious spirit, and it gets demonstrated rather early in life. And the Lord refers here to some of these wicked ones and how soon they go astray. Psalm 58 verse 3 says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. So here, they're obviously old enough to be able to speak and to be choosing to speak lies. But these ones are very young. I mean, their direction, going in the wrong direction, begins in their very early childhood. That's the case with many. Some that are of a rebellious spirit will show that from very early on, where they are rebelling against the authority of God by rebelling against the authority in the home, even from a very young age. That is sad when that happens. But we also see the characteristic that children often have that need to be in children. All children should be, but also something that we need to maintain, because we do tend to grow up and our attitude towards authority may change. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, it says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord points out characteristic that most children seem to have, and that is that they are ready to receive instruction and teachings, and they tend to be quick to humble themselves and obey. Now, when we are born, of course, we're helpless. We can't do anything for ourselves. We're physically very little. We're physically very weak. And we don't have the abilities, the mental abilities, the physical abilities, or any of that to be able to provide for ourselves. So we are utterly dependent on our parents to provide everything for us from day one. Well, being in that kind of a weak state and being totally dependent on others, does that lend itself towards having some humility and receiving instruction from the ones that God has put over you that are providing everything for you? Well, yes, that should have that effect. And it does with many children, most of them. And most of them are ready to receive the teachings they're given. And their children tend to be naturally humble and show that towards authority. Now, there are exceptions, as we just were looking at. There's some that are stubborn and rebellious really from day one. But children, as a rule, as their nature is, being very humble, we need to maintain that. So the real danger is, as we're growing up, that we forget that and we lose that humility, we lose that willingness to submit to authority. But if we've learned to obey the Lord, or obey our parents in the Lord, and that's what we learned by our obedience to our parents, are we going to be positioned to maintain that and continue to obey the Lord even as we grow up and get stronger? We remember an example of King Saul, who, when he was being brought up, there was a time when the prophet Samuel said he was little in his own sight. And that's how we all tend to be when we're very young. We are little, and we're little in our own sight. Our parents and all the grown-ups, they look like giants, and we listen to what they say. But Samuel said in the book of 1 Samuel in chapter 15 and verse 17, he said to Saul, "When thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel?" But then he goes on to point out how the Lord was now rejecting him because he was no longer obedient to the Lord. What happened? He wasn't little in his own sight anymore. He was great big in his own sight. Well, that can happen if we're not careful. That humility we learned as a little child, and we can develop pride as we get older, and maybe we were an obedient child at home, but then we can become rebellious against God in our adulthood. Well, that's why Jesus said we need to be humble as a little child. We need to learn obedience as children and continue to obey the Lord throughout our lives, because it's His authority, and that's how we glorify Him as God, by obeying Him and doing His will. This morning is an opportunity for you, if you're here at this time, if you have not yet obeyed the Lord's gospel, to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, believing in Christ as God's Son and confessing your faith in Him before men. This is an opportunity for you to do that. If you are a child of God, if you have not been obeying the Lord as you need to, if you've not been little in your own sight anymore, you have a chance to humble yourselves right now and come back to the Lord if that is your need. So we want to encourage anybody at this time with the Lord's invitation to come forward if you have the need, together as we stand and sing.